Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the table. Now, if you remember, we ended last time at Daniel chapter 3. So today we are literally going to jump right back in, kind of right where our conversation left off, and we're going to go through chapters 4 through 6 of Daniel. But we are so glad you're here and cannot wait to discuss this with you. All right, so after that we have 25 years later when we have chapter 4, which, as Keisha mentioned, is actually written by, well, it's said to be, and I read it, and I know you read it, but it was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself.
Yeah.
Which is the only chapter in the entire Bible written by a Gentile king.
Daniel thought it was important to get it from his perspective, though.
And I think that was smart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, again, just like we said earlier, this could have been very well been a scribe or Daniel writing it, but it was
his words.
Yeah, it was Nebuchadnezzar's words mm-hmm. being yep. used in the first person. Yep.
You know, it's a very personal vision that he received
mm-hmm.
About the tree that was cut to a stump. So, and you know, he was warned, you know, this is what that means. If you don't change the way you are, this is what's going to happen to you. And still, he yeah. continued.
Mm-hmm. And I respect the fact that Daniel didn't exactly want to have this conversation with the king. And I think partly that was probably like, I know what the king does when he gets yeah. things that are not so favorable. And I'm about to have to tell him yeah. that he is the tree and he's going to get cut down to a stump and yeah. he'll be done. You know, and I'm like, I respect the fact that that was even put in here.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people who are talking, like writing a book about themselves aren't going to always put in, I was not so thrilled to do this, but yeah. you know,
yeah,
like I maybe was, because it just says he was terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because you're delivering the worst possible news.
Yeah.
To a really powerful person in the context of that culture and that time and that space that he's working. And he's worked for him for, I don't know how many, 40 years now.
Yeah.
25. I mean, 40 plus years he's been in the service of the king already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
you know,
there's also, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, you know, it shows Daniel's faithfulness that he gave the words God gave him, because it'd be so easy to say, oh, you know, that tree, that's your enemies. It's, you're coming down. You're doing a great job. Don't kill me.
I mean, he very well could have, right? Yeah. I mean, I might have done that. I'm just saying, like, sugar. Okay, help me.
Sugarcoat it just word, a little
I'm
bit. Kind
of, I'm a little uncertain about what we're talking about, so I'm just, like, put some, like, nice gravy on top of that and, like, you know, spice it up so it doesn't sound so bad. I don't know. I just applaud the, again, it comes back to that, you hope that with the knowledge and the heart the Lord's given you, that you would do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You yeah. would do what these, all these amazing servants and prophets and priests and, you know, I mean, all these people did in the Bible because of who they had on their side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, even in today's society and stuff, it's so easy to want to just say whatever you know that they want you to hear. So that you're yeah. not making a conflict. You're not causing any issues. You know, you're just going along with society. But that's not what God wants us to do. And it's hard. And it's hard to go up against family. It's hard to go up against loved ones. It's hard to go up against friends and say, no, that's not right. That's not what God says.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why I always say, I hope I have the courage to do what those before me have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is to praise him fully with all you have and follow the path he's put before you. So.
Yeah.
I have the shirt that I bought from the Go and Tell Gals through like Jess Connolly's ministry. And it says on the front, it says, the women before me would be proud or will be proud. Mm-hmm. And then on back, it says, and the women after me will be free. And so, you know, so it's just trying to make sure that you are bold enough to put that message out there and to stand up and to have the voice that is being silenced, you know, right now in today's world. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. To be able to stand up for your faith and your God and your Jesus, you know, your kids, your marriage, you know, to be able to stand up for all of that and say, this is what my God told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a Lisa Turkhurst devotional. Mm. And it's just one of those, the courage to live the life he's put before you, you can do it. And the courage to speak boldly about who he is in your life is not an easy thing accepted in our society today, accepted when you're going through the tough times, you know, like for her, she's gone through divorce and you know, all these kinds of crazy parts of her life with her husband cheating on her a bunch of times, trying to reconcile, cheating again. I mean, like layer, and, you know, things like that. And, but the faithfulness that she displays in the book is definitely inspiring because it's making me go, I can get through the junk of my day, my week, my month, my whatever, if I just keep my focus on what the Lord's put before me. Mm-hmm. And I can do that with great support, good friends to talk about my faith with. And I've got that in lots of different ways. I'm sure you guys do too, from women's Bible study at your church. Like for me, it's my Tuesday night group where we do Bible study. And just a great bunch of friends that, you know, you can always go to when you are feeling weak. I mean, like I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. They came in together and I'm sure they didn't serve every single space together, but it's they're lumped in this story together because I'm sure when they had moments, because they were the only four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not millions in the service of the king, that they had to find ways to bond together to stay connected to their God.
Yeah.
To our God, you know, the God. So I just think that's the thing so easily can fall away from us is losing the connection to the people that help us stay connected to God.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it's easier to, and I'm terrible at this, but when you're going through something, it's easier just to close yourself in. Mm-hmm. Like I'll handle it. I'll figure it out. I'll get back out on the other side. Like it'll be fine.
Yep. Yep. But letting yourself be vulnerable to the stuff. And I mean, and that's even what that's why he's scared to tell Nebuchadnezzar. He goes, cause he knows the truth of it. He knows what's coming. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be that to this person who has been good to him.
Yeah.
For the most part, and has, you know, cared for him in the way that he does.
Right. Yeah.
But giving him, but I mean, in a weird way, why would you want to be the one who conveys all this bad news?
Yeah.
To someone who's been decent and good to you as your boss, you know?
Yeah. So,
and it's pretty bad news. I mean, I think what's like to lose your mind, to go insane like that is just, it's not going to be fun. You know?
Yeah.
He's looking forward to a diet of grass for the next 7 that periods yummy. Of time.
Sounds so yummy. But I do like it, you know, I think it's verse, let me look, 27. Please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. I mean, like, He's trying to give him some perspective of what, like, grace and mercy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord, my God, he does love you. He wants you to know him and he wants you to be a part of things. So if you just stop these other things and start living for him, this maybe there's a chance this dream won't come true. Like, you will prosper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, I want you to know what I know.
Yep.
Come with me on the journey. So, yeah.
But he does not.
He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched.
See, and I've always read it as, and I didn't realize that there was a, I thought he actually turned into something. So I've always viewed it as he actually became a beast and wasn't always just a mental break, for lack of a better term, but like a mental disability, a mental, that's even worse.
Wow. No, I know what you're saying. In essence, he went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He literally had like a schizophrenic break is what my college professor called it. Because if you think about it in our terms, our societal terms, mm-hmm. don't know what it would have meant back then, but he literally started to act like different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he ate the grass. That's why he acted like the cow. That's why he did, you know, he lived in a way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like, he just lost societal like touch. You know what I mean? Like, because what he said, schizophrenic and or Alzheimer's kind of concept, like where he just lost all connection to reality.
Humanity. Yeah.
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 And one thing I was listening to, or I looked at or something, it was saying, you know, secular, they're like, oh, well, that never happened. You know, the secular view on this. But I would imagine if you had a leader of this great nation all of a sudden lose his mind like this, you're not going to show it. You're going to hide that.
Yeah, that is not going to be prominent in your historical documents.
Yeah. And, you know, these...
Well, you're going to shield everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to have these other nations who's just waiting to see a crack. Like the mm-hmm. Medo-Persians when they, you know, came in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. There's definitely a little Washington, D.C. cover-up going on.
Oh, well, that's great. Now we're blacklisted.
I could say there's like a little like United Kingdom cover up.
Yeah,
I
see, mean, there like, we go. Like, do that.
All that stuff. I'm just saying, it's the same concept. But there's definitely like, I wouldn't, it went anywhere, I just wouldn't show it. Like, that's not the best thing for the country. It's not the best thing for the people. Why would you show him with hair as long as eagle's feathers and, you know, claws and eating grass? I mean, like,
it's a literal, just put him out to pasture and the rest of us, we'll just move on. We're going to promote his grandson. We're all set.
I mean, when in Rome, I mean, Babylon.
Almost Persia.
Too funny. Sorry. I digress.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so then we start with chapter 5, if we're all good to keep going.
Yep.
But yeah, it's his grandson, Belshazzar.
Belshazzar.
Which is very close to Daniel's name, but not Daniel's name. Because yep. I think I'm pronouncing him wrong, so y'all give me grace. So, but yeah, so I mean, so this is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, which I don't know. I would like to know what happened to his son in between there. Like, did he just kind of lose a battle and then the grandson was the only one that was able to? Or they were afraid that the apple didn't fall far from the tree and they were going to have a situation.
Yeah, I don't remember if I've ever known anything about what happened to his other family members. You know what I mean? I don't know that there is any.
I think we'd probably have to deep dive through archives of history on that. You know, we'd have to probably look into that. It might take a little more than we all have time for during our, you know, not so busy lives or anything, but
we just sit around eating bonbons all day
that's it. But this is the story that I always forget about, but I remember learning about it, you know, like in Sunday school, because I can vividly see a cartoon of the hand on a wall. I can see it, but I don't remember it. That's the only part. I just remember them being all in a hall. They're all cartoons. Yeah. And then there's his hand writing on the wall. And it's just something you forget occurred until you're back in Daniel and you're reading it. And you're like, oh, that's right.
It was just
this hand just showed up and started writing, just this dismembered part of something. You know?
I'm not sure if I could be like, oh, okay, I need those wise men to come in and read this for me. I think I would be kind of freaking out. I don't think I would be still sitting there.
I think there was probably a lot of wine involved for him to be calm.
Yeah.
But again, in that era, I always feel like that kind of stuff happened a lot. Anyway, like there was a lot of supernatural stuff occurring throughout the entire Bible, right? Here and there. And we only hear... what
bits and pieces.
Yeah, we only hear what was pertinent to be included into the Bible. And even some of that's kind of been changed through translations, through different, you know, just depending on how it's explained in here. So they might have also been used to seeing something
totally
strange.
Random and weird. And yeah.
But again, he was a party king. You know, this guy was having a party. They were grabbing the chalices. They were definitely not on the sober side of things when this was occurring.
You had said something about Belshazzar's father. Mm-hmm. So he was still there. They were they reigned together. There was a co-regency during the closing years of Babylon.
Huh.
Interesting.
Mine does not say anything about that.
So was he the one partying and was the daddy out there trying to
I mean, maybe he got the party side of the kingdom and dad got the non-party side, other part, you know, the other part of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, I didn't do that. Cool. Well, because I think it's interesting how Belshazzar calls him my predecessor, like in every like context, like whenever he's talking to somebody, well, my predecessor. Mm-hmm. Like, you mean your family? Like, what?
Your grandfather? Yeah, him?
Grandpa? I know it's not very formal, but just always feel, it feels like there's a big disconnect between Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings. You know what I mean? Like these future kings or current kings, actually, I guess I should say. So, but I also wonder if that's the Babylonian culture, the hierarchy of things too. I don't know. I mean, I don't know a ton about Babylonian culture. But if it's like Roman culture, it didn't matter what your connections were. Once you were Caesar or once you were, you know, this Pontius Pilate or like, you know, all those kinds of things. Once you were in that high power, you forgot about family and connections because it didn't matter because now you've got the power.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's more the power part. And that's why he says my predecessor as opposed to my past king or whatever the formal term would be. I don't even know. But I'm just saying, like, I just think it's very interesting how it's very disconnected.
It could also just be because they didn't want to. He didn't want to be associated with the madness side.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. Could be.
I didn't either until you were saying it like that. I was like, that. It could. I mean, there's probably a lot of different.
But my crazy old kook predecessor.
The guy that's out there eating off the tree. That guy. Yes, the leaves. I think it's interesting that as the hand is writing on the wall, telling them what's going to be occurring, the Persians are in Babylon. Like they are there. They're about to take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
not because it says he dies that same night.
Yeah. Like they're in the trenches. They're making their way in. They're coming up in the dark. You know, they're there. Yep. And God's just making sure that they know that. This I'm doing this and this is why.
And I mean just the fact that Daniel also gets promoted to be so high in the kingdom right before Belshazzar gets killed, like
because that would be
it's all part of God's plan, obviously we know that part, but I'm just saying like it feels like a really quick sequence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be another one, you know, it'd be pretty hard for David to say, hey, so this means that, you know, your role's going to end and you've been weighed and balanced and found wanted. That's kind of harsh.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's funny because you think about, I mean, and there was a huge, you talk about being like a, like you had said earlier, a disconnect, you know, as far as like the length of time. But at this point, Daniel's 80.
Yeah.
Right. So he's been around. And so he was around with the king. So, I mean, but so that was a significant period of time. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the difference of the years were in between like chapters 4 and 5. There was at least 7 because that's how long King Nebuchadnezzar
was
went,
in his,
yeah, stuff, went crazy state. And was in this bestial state, you know, but. It's not like he doesn't really say like how many years in between that did this occur.
Yeah.
That I found. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying I don't found
it. Well, and it might be out there, but I think it just points to that we also don't know how long they were covering up that 7 years and then how long after they actually like rolled out the new kings. I mean, like we don't know. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen in my studies, and I don't have my other studies at church where I was studying this afternoon, and I left it there. I had some of my notes in it.
Of course.
But I don't think between, like you said, between 4 and 5, that there's a lot of time frame given anywhere.
Because I know it.
But now Daniel's in service of the kings for 50 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, or more. I mean, we just don't quite know. But 50 years, think about that. He's like, gosh, I gotta tell another king they're gonna die.
just another day in life. Yeah.
What I do. But the pressure of that too, and again, he's still so faithful after being surrounded by a culture and kings and people that don't believe and think the way he does for all this time. It speaks to the strength of faith and the connection that he has to God. Like, it's just, it's amazing. Yeah.
No, it does. All right. So let's go on to the last one that we'll discuss tonight, which is the one that I feel like everybody knows, right? Chapter 6. Let's talk about some lions. Some big kitties.
That's a story in the Bible. No, I'm
so Daniel, Darius, so. We have Darius, who is who's Persian. He's a Persian. It's Persian rule, and he's the Mede. Darius the Mede.
Yeah.
But Daniel is 87, like you said, Keisha, earlier today. So he's
up there.
he is definitely not as much in his prime anymore. Physically speaking, I guess. I don't know back then, but with today's standards, he might not be.
We're not quite sure the numbering system back then as much as we, you know, are today since the Roman numbers came out and things like that. So there can't be that much difference, but I mean, how old was Noah? Like 600?
Yeah. He was up there.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Amen. But I guess we can imagine Daniel's slowing down a little bit at least.
Yeah.
Well, that, and because he's been in service so long and because he was elevated to the, what, number 3 position?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it said? Proclaimed the 3rd highest ruler in that kingdom. Now, that's obviously before Darius comes in and changes all the provinces and changes all the hierarchy and all this kind of stuff. But obviously, even Darius comes in and knows this guy's a kind of a big deal if he's been promoted by all these other guys and he's not Babylonian and things. I mean, so he knows he's a big deal.
But it sounds like they were friends, you know, because how upset Darius was when, you know, it came out that Daniel had worshipped his God.
Yeah.
And, you know, was, but he couldn't take anything back. He'd already said it. So.
Yep. 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 Well, I just think it's also interesting that there's so many people trying to get at Daniel, come at him because of what his beliefs are, even though he's been a faithful servant for 50, 60 years, whatever, however old, you know, whatever the actual age is that he became in the service of the king versus now. So, I mean, just think about how many people are jealous of the fact that he's so close to all the kings, that he keeps interpreting their dreams and other stuff. And maybe it's not always good, but he's the trusted advisor. Right. And that's why they want to come at him too. That's Satan coming at what God's trying to help prosper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the midst of places that he's also trying to let people know who he is. So.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, it says the king planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom.
Yeah.
So. Mm.
So he's kind of a big deal.
Just a little bit. You know, I think a lot of it too is you have jealousy, right? Like, and it's any workplace, you know, oh, he got promoted or he's been in that position for too long. It's my turn. You know, I feel like I'm better suited and I would have better ideas and I could come in here and clean house. Right. And so they're trying to clean house in regards to Daniel, like trying to make sure they can get him out of the way so they can have his position and have the king's ear like Daniel does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so what better way than to get him thrown into a den of lions for lying to the king and worshiping his own king and...
Yeah, and then they get their, you know, their just desserts a little bit at the end.
You know, before Daniel's thrown into the lion's den and, you know, Darius has figured out, you know, he's been tricked. And he says to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. So that shows, too, that Daniel, through all of this, was always... you know, outspoken about his faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he never, you know, it's just keep your mouths quiet, go through life, you know, don't look left, don't look right. But he didn't do that. He was, it had to show that he was always very vocal about his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it also just shows a huge respect level on Darius's part that he wasn't intimidated by Daniel's God. And he doesn't, you know, like everyone else is intimidated by how far Daniel's come up, things like that. And Darius might have been a little bit, but not as much as the people who brought the accusations against Daniel, you know? And so he respects Daniel enough to respect his God.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't believe in him. And that's not something that was happening all around King Darius and Daniel. So with the other people, you know.
And I think that's a testament to how we should be showing Christ. You know, how we should be sharing our faith, because if Daniel can be in that position among people who do not believe in his God or believe in him, but as a part, like you said, as part of just, oh, he's a God. He's not he's just a God.
God.
So you have these people that are like, sure, whatever, we'll just add him to the list and you can make his little shrine over here, you know, but they respect Daniel enough to be like, your faith in your God, you know, like they respect that of him because they see what God has done for Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a huge for his testimony. Cause you know, he's not standing on the corner yelling at people saying, if you don't turn your ways, you know, you're going to go to hell. Daniel's not doing that. He's being vocal about who his God is and how his God shows up, you know, and then God shows up when Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when he needs them, he's showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when things are about to go down, God is saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Take it or leave it. You know.
He's being light in a world that doesn't want to see the light
because
they don't understand it. But he's strong enough to continue to be that light, to be that beacon, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, mm-hmm. Joseph. No, I mean, like all these fathers of the Old Testament, you know, pillars of the Old Testament. And so that's why sometimes I even have to say, why is it so hard for me to do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To stick to what I know and share, and what, and I should be sharing it so, so vividly and fervently. And I do it sometimes really well. And then other times I don't do it well. Right. So
it's easy to share with others who have the same faith as you do. But when you go and you're around people who, you know, do not, it doesn't come out. It just, nothing comes out. It's just, oh, well, let's talk about the weather. You know?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do true. This weekend?
Yeah.
Totally true. Yeah. 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 It's sharing your faith, you know, boldly and honestly, and with all its good parts and bad parts, the struggles of faith and the highlights of faith and everything in between. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you see in all of these stories.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, Daniel being rewarded, but then Daniel getting thrown in the lion, and then, you know, like, and then coming back and being rewarded more before he goes to heaven, and, you know, things like that. And so it's just, it's not this puppies and rainbows culture that we want to live in, where everything's happy and it's fine and we're just God's light and beacon, and we are, but there's also moments where the light goes out because the power went out.
Yeah.
Or because this issue hit your family, or, you know, those things. And I think we just have to do a better job. At least I do. I'll speak mm-hmm. for Leslie. I have to do a better job of shining his light no matter what the circumstances are going on in my world.
Yep. And that is hard.
Yeah. Have to be more bowed. and passionate. Yeah. Not just passionate with the people who share your beliefs, but passionate with I'm around people who do not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to be okay with when they're upset with you for that.
Yeah.
Because you're in accord or you're not connecting, but you've planted that seed mm-hmm. of knowledge. And then the Lord does the rest of it. I don't have to keep watering it. I don't have to keep poking the fire and like making it bad, but I want to share it boldly. And then if they ask a question, share it boldly again. If they don't ask a question again, maybe try, but also just keep engaging it. Because like you told the disciples, if they keep pushing you away, move on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go shoot somewhere else. You're not here to change everybody, but you are here to be a light and to be that beacon and to share my story, the story, your story with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when you start praying. Okay, God, I know I can tell that I'm not the one, but I pray for the one that is.
Yeah.
You
know, because they're going to come down that road at some point. Because there's people in my life that I'm like, okay, I can share what I can share, and I can be God to these people, but I am not going to be the person that's going to change their mind. Yeah. And I know that. And that's fine. That's not my role. I might be changing lives of somebody else, and I might not even know it. But I know when my role is not to be the life changer. I'm just there to have the seeds planted, and maybe sometimes water it here and there, but, you know, doing the groundwork for somebody else to build it.
Yeah.
But I think you just hit it. Like, it's a really great reminder to also be bold enough to say, it's not me, but I'm going to pray for that person who will do it.
Yeah.
Because I got to pray for them, because I know that person too well.
Yeah, right.
and how resistant they are to me, who's maybe their loved one or their friend or connection. But they're resistant to me. So Lord, I know you're going to send somebody who's going to break through that barrier, and you pray boldly for that person to come and to be able to break that barrier that's been put up. And so I think you hit that on the head beautifully, just to say, sometimes it's just about praying for that, the boldness, mm-hmm. whether it's in you or in the other people around to share his light.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that's Daniel. Well, that's our half of Daniel. So our half of tonight.
Cool.